Okay, once again, it is time to hit the gridiron. We're going to recap week 11 in the Pac-12 conference. A team we're going to shine the spotlight on is the Oregon Ducks, because they certainly had their sights on playing Alabama in that national title game, but were unable to take care of business against Stanford. The script did not play out. And so we are delighted to welcome into our show one of our sources for the Pac-12 conference. He covers the Oregon Ducks. That is Brian Libby. He is a sports journalist. He is an author, and we always appreciate the time right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome aboard, Brian Libby.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you've had about a week to digest that 26-20 loss against Stanford. I know it was such a heartbreaker because, of course, Oregon is now out of the national title picture. So my question to you is, Brian, did they just dominate the Ducks, or was it Marcus Mariota's knee injury? Was that the real factor in that particular loss?
Well, you know, I've wrestled with these questions myself a little bit, and there's no perfect answer, but I guess maybe what I would use is the phrase perfect storm, and that all those factors did play in. First of all, you have to give Stanford the most credit, because more than anything else, they controlled the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, more power to them. Like, they came ready to play and Oregon didn't. But having said that, I do think that Marcus Mariota's knee was definitely a factor. Maybe not a case where him being healthy would have meant the Ducks blew out the Cardinal or anything like that. But, part of Mariota's strength or his talent as a quarterback is his extraordinary running ability, and he just really was hardly running at all. But I think really the other thing I noticed is that this may have been the first time when Oregon missed Chip Kelly as its head coach, because one thing that really marked the Chip Kelly regime at Oregon in his 4 years is that whenever there was a big game, you knew that Kelly was going to introduce some new wrinkles to the offense and really give the opponent something they hadn't seen before. And it's a little bit confusing to me, because I saw Oregon do that in one of their earlier big games this season against Washington, who was a top 20 team at the time. But for whatever reason, in the Stanford game, Oregon didn't really seem to come out with any new offensive strategies or approaches. You know, it's not to say that you want to abandon what you do or anything like that, but I think Chip Kelly would have thrown a few new things for Stanford to think about into the mix, and I didn't really see that from Mark Helfrich. So I think, you know, Helfrich has a lot of integrity, and in a press conference after the game, he blamed his own coaching staff, but I think he actually is right. I think that was part of it as well. But, you know, again, you've got to give a lot of credit to Stanford. They're clearly one of the three or four best teams in the country, and, you know, it's frustrating to me when I hear things like Stanford dominated Oregon, because I don't think that's the case. I think what happened is Oregon had a really bad first half, and maybe Stanford was dominant in the first half. And throughout the course of the season, sometimes Oregon has taken a little bit of time to get going. And Oregon also hasn't had to play many close, tough games. And so, you know, Oregon crucially made two fumbles in the first half that may have just, you know, by themselves decided the game. You know, you give Oregon 10 or 14 more points and suddenly they're ahead of Stanford. You know, so when I see a game that was decided by 6 points, it's a little, you know, frustrating to hear people say that Oregon was dominated. But again, you've got to give Stanford full credit. And there is, honestly, still a lingering question as to whether or not Oregon can beat a team with lots of power and physicality. And so, you know, they have done it in the past. They've won at Stanford the last time they played. And, you know, they'd in 2010 and 11 had beaten Stanford twice in a row. And Oregon came within a play of beating a very physical Auburn team 3 years ago for the national championship. You know, that championship game came down to literally the last play of the game.
It did.
So, you know, I think the at the end of the day, Oregon can beat a physical team like Stanford or Alabama, but to do so, everything has to break right. And when you put the ball on the turf twice, and when you have an injured quarterback, you know, that's not going to get it done.
Our focus right now is on the Oregon Ducks at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Brian Libby is joining us. He follows the team very, very closely. Can you give us an update? Obviously, the big game against Utah on Saturday, but what is the update on Marcus Mariota? I mean, with his left knee, I mean, is he 100%? Where is he in terms of that?
I don't think he's still at 100%. Oregon is frustrating in how little information they're willing to give about injuries.
They really are downplaying the injury. That's why I'm asking.
But it sounds like through the grapevine what he has is an MCL sprain. And so, you know, that's not something that's going to heal in the 10 days Oregon had before the Stanford game, and it's not going to completely heal in the 10 or so days he, or 9 days he, between the Stanford game and Utah. But hopefully he'll be a little bit, less gimpy and will be, he says he's definitely going to play. And, you know, obviously Utah is no slouch. They're the only team that has beaten Stanford. So Oregon does have their hands full. But I think, mentally, the Chip Kelly culture is still there in that, they do a really good job of getting these kids' attitude right. And this week, Helfrich has used language like that the players have got to flush the Stanford game and just get ready for Utah. And, you know, kids are a little bit better at that anyway. So I do believe that Oregon will be ready to play, and they'll be at home again. And, you know, they should be playing with the chip on their shoulder.
Well, we will do a preview with that particular game, but I want to back up for just a moment and talk about Marcus Mariota a little bit more. In your mind, is he still a front runner for the Heisman? I mean, when you have a loss like that, you perhaps have a, even if it's a tweak, an injury like that, how much does that affect him?
That's a good question, and I think you could make an argument either way. I saw a straw poll conducted yesterday by ESPN that listed Mariota now as third behind Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much the voters are willing to keep an open mind because, you know, it's not to say that Johnny Manziel hasn't suffered a loss this year. And, you know, it is true that Florida State is on an incredible roll and that Jameis Winston is turning out to be a spectacular player, especially for a freshman. So I don't see Florida State losing again. And that combination of an undefeated season and the dazzle that Winston has, I think you got to call Winston the front runner now. But having said that, you know, when you are a quarterback like Mariota who has thrown 22 touchdown passes and not a single interception in the entire season,
wow,
you've got to still look at him. And so I would certainly hope as a, you know, a biased Oregon fan that Mariota would at least be a Heisman finalist. And I think it would be pretty ridiculous if he's not. But it's hard to say. I think he should still be in contention for the trophy. But there is an attitude sometimes with certain teams, if you're not a traditional power or so forth, that, you know, one loss, especially if it comes later in the season, can be your downfall. And there's a perception out there that Mariota didn't play very well in the Stanford game. You know, he still didn't throw an interception, but, you know, he definitely didn't have his best game. And so sometimes you are judged by how you perform in solely the biggest games. And you know, if I had to handicap it, I would say Mariota is going to be a finalist, but probably lose the trophy to Jameis Winston. But, you know, there are still three or four games left in the season. And, you know, Florida State is going to be an overwhelming favorite in all of the games they have left. But they do have to finish the season against Florida, an arch rival. Granted, Florida is not so good this year, but you just never know in those types of situations. And you know, it's still possible that somebody else could sneak in there. But my guess would be that Winston's going to win it, but that Johnny Manziel and Marcus Mariota will be two of the other finalists. Maybe A.J. McCarron from Alabama to round it out.
The Oregon Ducks face Utah on Saturday at 3 o'clock Central Time. Brian Libby is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. You can join me on Twitter at @eradiosports. You can also email us at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. And, you know, Brian, you're talking about, you're very passionate about the Oregon Ducks. You've followed them for many years. In fact, you've written a book about that. But, you know, that one loss against Stanford, that's really tough for the Pac-12 conference because now being shut out of the national title picture, you guys were really in the hunt. I mean, you think back, when was the last time the Pac-12 won a national championship? It was what, in 2004? I mean, did you think coming into the 2013 season, whether it be a Stanford or an Oregon, that this was the year that they were going to block the SEC from, you know, their consecutive seven championships?
Mm-hmm. I did think that, I shouldn't say I think, but it's interesting. Before the Stanford game, I happened to notice that among the kind of group of friends that I have that I talk about Ducks football with and
sure,
my sort of grapevine, so to speak, I heard more Oregon fans than maybe any other season this year who believed that this was the year. And so you're right that USC was the last Pac-12 team to win a national championship. And more broadly, I think there's still a perception out there in the college football world that even though there are very good programs and legendary programs, you know, Stanford or Washington or Oregon, that there's still a perception out there that the Pac-12 in the long haul is USC and everybody else. So even though Washington has won a national championship in 1991, or at least a share of it, you know, there is still that perception out there. So whether it's Stanford or Oregon, it's going to take another team from the Pac-12 breaking through and winning the title to change that perception. And it'll be interesting to see where USC goes from here. You know, they're on quite a rebound right now with head coach Ed Orgeron, you know, replacing Lane Kiffin. And USC is always, anytime USC doesn't win more than 10 games, then they're kind of a sleeping giant, I think. But, yeah, there was a perception, I think, when Oregon made it to the national championship game in 2010 that maybe, you know, this was the, at least for the time being, the successor to USC as a championship-caliber program. And on one hand, Oregon has proven that they belong, because after the 2010 national championship game, they've continued to play in January bowl games, winning the Rose Bowl and then the Fiesta Bowl. And so, you know, believe it or not, Oregon is currently the only team in college football that has played in four straight January bowl games, four straight right. BCS bowl games. But still, you know, a national championship is different. That's really what places you among the immortals. And so that's still something that Oregon is desperately trying to add to their list. And, you know, the trophy case for Oregon is dominated by stuff from the last decade. But, you know, they still have that final hurdle to make.
Brian, we've got to step aside and take a quick commercial break. We want you to stick around. We'll be right back with much more of Brian Libby talking Oregon Ducks right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show.